Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to a new year and a new episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Tough Enough is coming back. Is it going to be on MTV though, Aaron?
No, I thought it was on USA, if I'm correct, isn't it?
Yes, I was just kidding because that's where it was originally. Of course, that's for the people who have been watching wrestling forever. Tough Enough was originally on MTV, believe it or not. And that was actually about the time it was still running music videos.
Yeah. The question I have to ask you is, how many superstars has Tough Enough created?
Well, is it Josh Matthews?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a performer, but he is still around. Who else? John Morrison.
Exactly. One. And how long did Tough Enough run for? And what? It had three stints, didn't it?
What happened to everyone? Well, Maven was the first one. But when Maven was on, Josh Matthews was on as well. And who else was on there? Maven, Josh Matthews. The chick that Helms kind of dated for a little bit. I can't think of her name. She kind of was nasty.
Well, I think the point is, though, that, like, why do we need this is the question I want to ask you.
I don't want to see Tough Enough again. It was great when it was on. It's kind of gone. They made her, NXT is the closest thing they have. That's it. Just let it go. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing though. Like, why do you need this? Like, and like, actually, like a legitimate, why do you think we actually would need this is what I would like to know.
There is no reason for Tough Enough. Tough Enough has did its thing. It was over with. Three seasons, they're done. Why continue? In fact, I think it was the final season of Tough Enough I didn't care for because they were talking about moonsaults and how everyone did a moonsault. And that kind of ticked me off a little bit because they're giving away secrets that they shouldn't have to. And that's what really ticked me off because they're sitting there. They're not going over, the talking in the ring, how to, talk properly, how to call matches and stuff. But they're still giving away too much, I think. That's just my beef with Tough Enough. That's why I was glad when it was done because I was like, thank goodness, one of those things. But anyway, so
something else, though, I do need to point out real quick is that you did forget somebody. His name is Mike Mazarian. He was a Tough Enough contestant.
He was?
If you remember. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. So
how long was he on there for?
He was on the Million Dollar Tough Enough, which was the fourth one.
Who won that?
So the winner, I don't think it was The Miz.
No, Miz didn't win it.
Yeah, but he was on there, though.
I can picture it in my head. I can, because Maven was one of them, and I can't remember the other guys. It's sad we should have actually thought about this.
Well, I think I know who you're thinking about. It was the Harvard guy, Chris Nowinski.
No, Chris Nowinski didn't he never won.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was in there, though. He was in
You're right. Daniel Pewter was the one I was thinking of.
Oh, him.
But Maven, Matt something. It's Matt. That's who it is, the Harvard dude. And of course, John Morrison. Then it was Jackie and Nadia. Nadia. That's who it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, dude, I could care less. Realistically, I don't want it back. Come on.
I don't see a need for it. And I think that if you have NXT having Tough Enough, NXT is meant to be a scripted tryout, whereas Tough Enough is literally it's a reality show. And I think it's cool to see some of the behind the scenes, but I know it's like the old saying goes, do you really want to watch the sausage be made? No, sometimes you don't. You just like to see the show.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so Awesome Khan signs with the WWE that was leaked out. She did it really, really. Actually, I don't think she even had a done contract when she actually announced it, which is kind of weird, but good for her. She'll make the women's division. She can actually wrestle, thank goodness. So she'll be another tough one. Beth Phoenix and her will have a great feud, which I'm looking forward to.
The only thing I'm wondering though with Awesome Kong is, because she is such a massive wrestler, kind of like the big, I would say almost in you know, kind of like the Big Show, let's say. Mm-hmm. The Big Show cannot wrestle a lot of people legitimately. I mean, it's hard for him to. The same thing with Awesome Kong. I mean, the only person she could really feud with is Beth Phoenix. And that's it. I mean, you can't have her feud with Michelle McCool. Like, it is not believable that Michelle McCool would be able to destroy Awesome Kong or barely beat her even, you know?
Yeah, so. But you could also have, like, feuds like that, though, where, you know, Michelle McCool will wrestle her, but then she'll get help from outside help all of a sudden. And then, of course, then, you know, like, haha, I still won. You could do stuff like that. But after a while, that gets old.
It does, you know. Now, there's another thing, too. Speaking of TNA and WWE, WWE reported that they are not interested in Samoa Joe. When Samoa Joe was a free agent for a short period of time because, you know, he his contract ended at TNA and he didn't re-sign yet, WWE said they had no interest in him and they don't think they ever will. What do you think about that?
Well, the thing is, WWE is a different style than what Samoa Joe wrestles. That's the thing. So the fact that they're not interested, I actually see why. Because they could do something short with them, but Samoa Joe's, you know, he's a brick kick butt house. So you can't just bring him in there and not have him win. And that's the thing that I find hilarious is that WWE has a completely different style than any other organization. And they're supposed to, quote unquote, last longer, but I actually don't see them lasting longer. A lot of guys get hurt a lot, but... Anyway,
I think that they would ruin him like they did with Taz, because I think that Taz, I mean, at the height of ECW, I mean, he was the guy. And I think that in WWE, you know, when he came out, I was really happy to see him, but they ruined his character. I mean, he was jobbing to people, you know, he was losing matches left and right, and it just they ruined him. And I think they would do that with Samoa Joe. They would have Samoa Joe job to Triple H, you know. I mean, well, he's not there, but they'd have him job to Batista, you know, if he was still around, or John Cena, or, you know, yeah, and anybody.
He should be basically kicking their butts. And plus, if him and Daniel Bryan feuded, it would be great because they're both...
Oh, it would be amazing.
Because basically, Samoa Joe is a cruiserweight, you know. But even though, you know, Ferrari engine, what do they call them? Anyway, so WWE releases 50 plus wrestlers 2 years in a row. Now, do we actually count Daniel Bryan? Because he came back?
Yes.
Okay.
He is counted. He's the only one that came back.
Really?
The other big ones, though, they're out of 50 plus, and it was 35 worth from the main roster. You know, we do include, of course, Chris Jericho and Batista, even though they left on good terms and they'll probably be back. There were three people who have signed with TNA as of the taping of the show, which were Katie Lee, who and Mickey James both joined the women's division in TNA. And then the only male wrestler to join TNA was Tommy Dreamer. Only one. Now, Caval will probably join TNA. I think that'd be just a mistake not to pick him up. And Matt Hardy's going to join TNA. Actually, he'll join later this month. I'm going to say that. I'm going to throw that out there. So, but some of the others, I mean, I'm kind of surprised they haven't joined yet. I mean, I still say Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas. You need to have them. You need to snatch them up as soon as possible. Well, and of course, Sugar Shane Helms.
Well, they've also been on Ring of Honor.
They have. Yeah.
And the thing is, they're great wrestlers. It's just, I just wish the WWE would realize that, hey, these guys are still in their prime and you can market these guys because people want to see them. I mean, when the ladder match comes out for WrestleMania, you want to see Shelton Benjamin in that because you know he's going to do something crazy. You just know it.
Sign him to a one-day contract. Yeah. Seriously, like if I was the WWE, that is what I would do. Mm-hmm. Sign him to a one-day contract for that. Yeah.
And before we get into some kind of depressing news, something that we didn't talk about and I just noticed and I want to bring it up. John Cena has been doing a lot of stuff for Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he just surpassed. They were trying to get frequent flyer miles donated to him, and he just needed $3 million. Well, they got $4.2
million. Wow.
Yeah. So they overshot the goal, which is great. And like I said, you know, I think we talked about it before. John Cena, what he does for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, even though a lot of us don't like him, what he does for those kids, they all love it, and honestly, it makes their day. completely makes their day, and I'm happy for him, and I'm happy that the WWE and Cena have been doing this, and he's their number one moneymaker, and I'm glad to see that he's the miles is 1.2 million miles over what they needed, which is great. So anyway, so let's get right into some kind of negative thing. Jeff Hardy, finally, after I don't know how long this has been going on, he is set to make a plea agreement for the drug charges happening on January 20th. Mm-hmm. And I guess he's going to enter a guilty plea, which is weird.
Well, they're going to it's going to be a plea. You know, I mean, they're going to something is going to happen where basically they might have some case against him. And they'll say, look, you know, you're going to plead guilty to these felony charges and you might have to serve time. You might not have to, you know, you might have to do something, you know, community related. So we don't know what's going to be. I know that in basically about, you know, two shows from now is when we'll find out. So
that's right. Yeah. 20th.
Yeah.
It's just really, I mean, it's kind of weird and sad, but like, come on, like why drag it out this entire time? I mean, it just stinks. And, you know, that's over your head. You're thinking about that. And maybe that's, you can't say that's the reason why he's been wrestling really weird, but you know, that could attribute to it. But
I think it could, I honestly think it could, because you got to figure he's been dealing with this now for, you know, what, year and a half, you know, I mean, it thinking about, oh, my next court date's in 2 months, you know, you're thinking about that, you know, and if you're not thinking about it when it comes up, you know, you probably get a little depressed about it. So,
oh yeah. And one thing I want to bring up before we get into where we cover Raw and all the wrestling shows, I want to say thank you for a couple emails we got about the Ready to Rumble special we did last week. We had a lot of good positive feedback, and I think we're going to do a couple more of these. We'll talk about that at a different time, but I think it'll be like some wrestling games and a couple of specials like that. So anyways, let's move on right into Raw for the week of the 27th to the 31st. CM Punk reveals why he attacked Cena. And what is that, Aaron?
He said he didn't like him. He said that he made fun of everybody and like it was some stupid reason. Like that really made no sense. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't care for the rationale behind it. Did you?
No, it was dumb. it was kind of, I mean, like, I mean, I see now why he did it, but it was kind of pointless. I thought it was poorly written, poorly done. There, it could have been done 100 times better than anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the King beats the WWE champ, The Miz. Ooh, The Miz was a little upset about this, wasn't he?
A little, yeah. I think that it kind of hurts Miz's character. I think that, you know, I don't care how you win by DQ, you win from interference. I mean, it's your WWE champion losing to a commentator, and King doesn't have a character. Okay, that's the thing. King doesn't have a character with this overarching storyline. The Miz does. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, have The Miz win by Alex Riley interfering. Okay, that kind of makes him still look a little bit like a, you know, a pansy, but still having him lose makes him look even more like a pansy.
Exactly. So at the end of Raw, CM Punk comes down to the ring, beats up John Cena, and he joins the Nexus. Really weird. So are they all straight edge too?
So this is why this is incredibly stupid. And the thing about it is this. The whole point about Nexus was the fact that they were all members of NXT. They all were NXT season one, couple from season two, and that's how you made Nexus. You're going to have just some random person join. Now you have the NWO. You don't have an elite organization, which has only certain people can join. Now you have an organization where anybody can join. And that's why I didn't like this. I like CM Punk. I do. Well, I'm not a mark for him, but I like him, but this is stupid.
They said that he's the leader now. They didn't say anything about adding people. They just said that he is the leader, which I thought was kind of weird.
I could kind of see that, but I don't know.
Anyway, so nothing happened on NXT. Superstars was born again. All right, so SmackDown, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, and Kofi Kingston had a great match. And how does it end, Aaron?
Oh, it ends in another stupid way. You know, you have Ziggler get a weak pin, you know. And I don't know. I don't like how they're portraying Ziggler's character, especially after that week. I mean, that week of WWE was kind of weak. You know, not to play on the words. So, but This week, the week of January 3rd to January 7th, Cena, the big news was that Cena has been injured.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
is
bad.
Is it going to be serious?
Well, they said it's his hip, and as of today, they said it's still bad. But they're not releasing. They're very, very vague on what's going on. They're keeping it tight lip, which is very weird because usually stuff like this gets leaked out right away. Mm-hmm. But they're keeping a tight lip on it right now. And it might be something as simple, you know, like he won't wrestle for a little bit. He'll just show up, no take no bumps. That's it.
I think that what's going to happen is that he is not going to wrestle on Raw. He's not going to wrestle house shows. He is only going to be there for pay-per-views. Is what I think is going to happen. He'll be there at the Royal Rumble. He'll be there at Elimination Chamber, and he'll be there at WrestleMania. But they will not chance their money cow, their cash cow, not being there for WrestleMania. They will not chance mm-hmm. that. I wouldn't chance that.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. But one thing that I I'd like the fact that Punk and Wade argued over who was the leader of the Nexus. Mm-hmm. Thought it was pretty funny, actually, because they basically said that CM Punk's the guy now.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting to, you know, see what happened. You know, with Punk basically betraying Wade in the cage match, you know. So I thought it was kind of interesting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's interesting what happened to Wade, which we'll talk about in just a little mm-hmm. bit. But before we do that, I want to talk about Morrison and The Miz and their match.
Great.
What did you think of it?
Great match. It was so good that you probably noticed the artwork. It has the this match, something that happened in this match. It was so good. I couldn't believe how good it was. Of course, the commentating stinks since CM Punk isn't doing it, but I actually watched the entire match. I was impressed. It was a great match. It proves to me that John Morrison will have the strap sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
And he can,
I agree.
He can do
I
it.
Agree.
And I like the fact when he got on top of the WWE logo, he did the put his arm up, did his like thing up there, and then jumped off. And I got to give credit to both Alex Riley and The Miz. They didn't usually some wrestlers when they jump, they put up their arms right away, like, oh, I know what's going to happen. They both waited till the last second to lift their arms up. And when they actually caught him, he was coming out with so much force. Alex Riley did take a hard bump on that. The Miz not as bad, but Alex Riley took the blunt of that. I mean, he went down hard. So I got to give him credit. I thought that match overall, so far, it's the best one of the year, hands down. Best one I've seen all year.
Now, the one thing, though, that I really didn't like about this match is that this was a false count anywhere match, okay? False count anywhere means that you can pin the person anywhere in the arena. Mm-hmm. That does not mean it's a no disqualification match, which they did not say. But apparently, you can use any weapon you want in a false count anywhere match. I thought that was kind of stupid, you know, but...
Yeah, they should have said something about that. I did not realize that. Now you say that, it's kind of sad. Anyway, mm-hmm. So we had a great steel cage match. It was Orton, Sheamus, Wade, and...
That was it.
Oh, that's right.
It was a triple threat.
My
yep.
bad. For some reason, I thought that was a four-way. Sorry, it was a triple threat, and it was actually a good match, too. It had its moments. I did like the fact that during that match, someone came down. CM Punk put his hand out to Wade Barrett and then rips the N off of his arm. And then what does he do? He punches him, if I'm correct?
He like pushes him down pushes or him whatever, down. You know? So
yeah, it was kind of neat that showed that, you know, Punk is the only leader of the Nexus, which I thought was kind of cool.
Now, the one thing about this, I must say, is number one, it had a great ending. I mean, it really, like, the you know, you thought Sheamus was going to walk out, then out of nowhere, Orton RKOs him. Thought that was great. You know, it was a little predictable with Randy Orton winning. But what's interesting about this is that Wade Barrett is now exclusively on SmackDown. And according to reports we've read, Wade Barrett and CM Punk aren't going to have a feud. It's just that's it. That it's done and over with.
I think they'll have a feud, but I think they're going to wait till the draft in April, and then I think they'll continue it because it looks like they're going to continue. This is still a rumor, but they're talking about having Undertaker and Barrett for WrestleMania, so they're going to have that feud. And I think once that's over, they're going to probably then continue CM Punk. So they're going to continue it going. slowly, and they're building up to the, you know, so they still have, like, you know, your main feud and a couple sub feuds that are going on as well, which I think is good, which is what they should do. And that's why ECW, yeah, I think, was doing so well for the longest time. It's, they just didn't have one feud going on. They had multiple ones. But anyways, Ziggler, in the first match, if I'm correct, of the night, loses the title to Kofi. Vicky Guerrero demands that they restart it, and Kofi still wins.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the Intercontinental Champion. Congratulations, Kofi Kingston. He is an awesome person, and I'm glad that he has it.
I hope they do something with this. I hope that there are multiple people going for that title, and I hope that Kofi is constantly defending it, because the one thing I will say that WWE did right about this title, it was constantly defended. It was defended at the pay-per-views. It was defended, I think, almost on every SmackDown for the past, like, few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing something right, because that makes the title mean something. You don't defend the title for a while, like the U.S. title, let's mm-hmm. say. You know, you kind of forget about it.
I keep forgetting that Daniel Bryan is the champion. That's the sad part. They haven't done anything with that. It's pretty sad. Anyway, yeah. So even though Dolph Ziggler lost the IC belt, he is now the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like Ziggler as a heel? Like, do you think he's got a lot of heat?
Nikki is not a very good heel. That's just me. I don't know. Like, in all seriousness, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I think that they're pushing him too much. And something about, like, a heel, they have something crazy about him. Nothing crazy about him. That's the thing. Like,
he's just a normal person. I think that he's not that bad. But he shouldn't be the number one contender. I mean, I really don't think that. I mean, give that to Del Rio. You're pushing him like no other. You're having him appear on Raw for crying out loud, you know? So, but I think that if you wanted to make a website, though, about Ziggler and you called it Ziggler's Heat, you know where you'd go for that, Andy?
Actually, you know where I go first? I go to NXT. Did you hear what happens this season?
I don't care about NXT. No one listening to this does either.
Well, someone might. So if you, whoever wins NXT, them and their pro get a shot at the tag titles.
Yeah, no one cares about the tag titles in WWE either.
But you know what? If you do care about the tag titles and you want to write a website about it, you know where you need to go? GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com is what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website village, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. So much for details. TNA. So, RVD takes on Robbie E for no reason.
Yeah. Why was this on there? They are on completely opposite tiers, and this match did nothing for either person. This is stupid booking, and whoever booked this needs to be shot. However, though, what I did like is Amazing Red and Double J have been having a little bit of a feud for their MMA Invitational. Amazing Red says that he was going to have his brother come out, and he had his brother come out, who was this huge guy. And I actually kind of like this idea. I think that they could play it off really well. You know, have them two actually as a tag team is what I was thinking. But I actually kind of like this segment. Did you enjoy it?
It was pretty good, actually. I've always liked the Amazing Red. When I first saw him back, oh gosh, in 2002, I think it was, I was like, that guy is an up and coming wrestler. I'm gonna be surprised, you know, if he doesn't make it. And of course, he did get hurt at one point, but other than that, he's just a great wrestler, hands down, just a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of nice, you know, bringing him in, bringing his brother in. I don't know, is that his real brother? That's the only thing I can figure out.
Probably not.
It doesn't. But anyways, so the Team 3D finally get to take on each other, but it's in a tag match. I mean,
yeah.
See, the thing that really ticks me off is that they're a tag team, period. That's it. They're a tag team.
Here's the thing I didn't like about it, is that it's Matt Morgan versus Ken Anderson, because they have a feud going on, and there was no need to put those two in there because they were on a different level. You know, have RVD in there. Okay, put RVD in that match, and put Jeff Hardy in the match too. Put those two in the match. That would be fun, because let's say Jeff Hardy has a team with Ken Anderson. That's kind of weird, you know. Mm-hmm. You make it uncomfortable for Ken Anderson, you know. That's cool. Do that. But Team 3D, no, it did no. So I don't know. I didn't care. So the following week on Impact, You know, it was announced that Double J is now taking on Kurt Angle at Genesis. And, of course, you know, probably an MMA-style match or something along those lines. So I don't remember what they said. Do you like this?
It's taking away from his angle, but I do like the fact that they're, you know, it's going away from his angle that he's doing now. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's going away from the angle, but he's still wrestling. Does that make sense? So he's trying to prove that he can do both, and he's better than MMA guys, I guess, if you want to call it that. So I kind of dig it. We'll see how it ends up happening because, you know, people tend to screw things up all the time. And it's WWE, of course. Or I'm sorry, it's the TNA, of course. But anyway, so Morgan is taking on Anderson to determine the number one contender.
Yeah. Do you like pay-per-views that don't showcase the world title?
I hate when they do that. That just ticks me off. It's like, come on, what's the point then? You know, I mean, it's the title. It is the title, and you want to show it. You want to showcase that, but of course, yeah, but stuff happens. Oh, well.
Yeah, so, and, you know, real quick, before we get into our weekly topic, which we'll have to go through quickly, I wanted to say that I have a correction for episode 43. When I gave my feud of the year to Ken Anderson and Kurt Angle, I was very, very incorrect on the recent episode of TNA, you know, the show after the show. They were talking about the 2010 year in review, and I cannot believe I forgot this. Motor City Machine Guns and Beer Money is my feud of the year. So I had to make that correction. You know, it's one of those things where I hate going back on it, but I couldn't think of a better feud. And when that came up, I had to say it. So good had call. To make that correction.
That is a good call, dude.
I had to make that. So.
So anyway, so our weekly topic, 2011 predictions. Not what we want to happen, but what we think might happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, Aaron, mine, I think Vince McMahon's going to die.
In real life?
In real life.
Or in real life. That's your prediction.
In real life. IRL. In real life. That's what I think.
All right.
That's my comic one. So
Let's keep it in reality.
Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
All right. So here's my predictions, all right? Daniel Bryan will be a WWE champion, as in the WWE champion. Tough enough, it will suck. Dolph Ziggler will be a champion as well.
What kind of champion?
He will be the World Heavyweight Champion.
Now, I want to throw a couple out there before you run through yours.
All right.
Prediction. Matt Hardy joins TNA in January 2011.
That's given.
I want to throw that out there.
All right.
One of them I was going to say is that Daniel Bryan will become a world champion, whether it's world heavyweight or WWE. I agree with you on that. I think that he will, because I think that they're going to try and push him. And I think that we are going to see a top star from WWE, either that was there this past year or that's there this year, leave and join TNA. Not necessarily leave WWE for TNA, but leave and join TNA because it's convenient. So, for example, I know Chris Jericho said that he would never do it when Batista said that. I could see both of them going there, or even a big star that is currently in WWE going to TNA. Not in the same way that, you know, you would jump ship, go from WCW to WWE back in the day, but in a different capacity because they like the light schedule. So that is one of my predictions.
Okay. So I
got a few more, though.
All right. I got a couple more. Shane Helms will be broke by the end of the year. there will be another ECW tribute show. Triple H will come back at Elimination Chamber.
At Elimination Chamber? Really? Yeah. I was going to say Royal Rumble.
Nope, not Royal Rumble. Elimination Chamber. My final thing, Chris Jericho comes back.
To where?
He is going to come back right the day after WrestleMania. That's what I think is going to happen. That's just me, though. What do you got?
Well, I wanted to kind of go, you know, do it like back and forth, you know. But, you know, like I said, Triple H, you know, I have Royal Rumble is when he's going to be there. You know, like I said, you know, the my big thing is that we're going to see somebody rather large, you know, like very marketable, go to TNA and I think help out TNA. I think Ken Anderson was a really big deal to have him go there. You're not going to see John Cena go. You know, I mean, that's not going to happen. But I think Caval, he'll join, in my opinion. And I think that, Matt Hardy's going to be joining this month because that's when his 90 days is up. So
actually, and it's not Cavall anymore. Remember, it's Low Key.
Sorry, Low Key. Low Key. Low Key's going to join TNA again, and he's going to come back as the NXT season 3 winner, season 2 winner, because they can market him that way, which is nice. So yeah, I mean, I think that there's going to be some really interesting stuff that'll happen. And it's really weird because when we look back on, you know, 2010, there's so many things, like outrageous things that happened, that is just so hard to really fathom it, you know? So things like, you know, Daniel Bryan being fired. I mean, that was such a big deal, you know, especially like at the time. So
big time. Kinda, big time.
Kind of.
So, well, it looks like that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow us at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. Aaron is AP Hughes. I want to say thanks to 1686 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we're tagging out.